Hey. Hey. Hey, everybody. Welcome. We got one of these. We got a totally different setup today. But, that's a theme these days, huh? Speaking of setups. So, Poonmaster Flex and I are moving. We're moving into a new place and a new situation. You know, one of the things about moving is that, like, on our last show, I was talking to Elias a bit about having a baby, right? How, like, when you have a baby, oh my god, does everyone know what to do and how to do it and how to... If you want to get advice on your life, here are the things you should do. Have a baby, because people will give you a lot of unsolicited advice. Move, because people will give you a lot of unsolicited advice, and start a relationship or end a relationship. Those are the best ways to get a lot of advice that you don't want or need. If for some reason that's a thing you're looking for, you're like, I want to get a lot of advice that I didn't ask for or want, or, you know, and upon getting it, realize I don't need. If for some reason you're a crazy person, and that's what you've made your decision to be, then go for it. For some reason you're a crazy person, and the way you say a sentence is, and that's what you want for your decision to be, or whatever the fuck I just said. So here's the thing. We're moving into, like, a real new situation. Because, so we've been living in the top floor of a house, where we have neighbors downstairs. And, by the way, before anyone even mentions it, everyone... Here's one of the pieces of advice everyone gives you when you're moving, if you're renting. If you're renting, everyone tells you either, you know, oh, just buy, it's so cheap, or don't buy, it's not cheap. And here's my opinion on that, because I did some internet upreading, and I think that, like, it kind of evens out. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I think that it evens out time spent and money spent owning or renting. Like, rent sounds way more expensive, right? So, you know, a studio apartment, $625 a month. Okay, so that's expensive sounding. However, anything that's broken, you don't have to fix. Anything yard-wise is not your problem. Plumbing-wise, not your problem. The furnace breaks, that's not your problem. The washer and dryer breaks, that's not your problem. Dishwasher, refrigerator, all these things, not your fucking problem. That's all utilities. So, you know, your rent is, what you pay to live is exactly the same every month, right? And it doesn't matter if you blast the heat all day or blast the air conditioner all night, it's the same. And, you know, homes, like every person I talk to, their mortgage is a fuck of a lot cheaper than my rent. However, they pay all the utilities, right? And then also, it's like, well, every so often, one of these things happens, right? But then there's also a third factor, which is part of why we're getting out of the house living thing and back into the apartment game. Which is like, every once in a while, there's like a project that comes up, right? There's like a, hey... The yard, you know, the yard. The city last year came and was like, you guys have too many weeds in your front yard. And we were like, yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, that's a landlord thing. I don't know what to tell you. And our landlord, we have the worst landlord in the world, by the way. Not the worst in the world, but bad. Bad in that she's like a neglectful liar piece of crap. Because what she does is like, you know, she told us, okay, so we had the weeds last year and... You know, we took care of the weeds. We did that. However, the city was like, well, the ticket goes to the landlord for this. And it's a landlord responsibility. So she was like, okay, well, I'm going to plant grass in the front yard. But, you know, it's definitely your guys' job to maintain it. Now, here's the thing. If this were our house, I would never put... Because it's not the front yard where the grass is. It's the whatever they call it, the parkway. Which is the term for when you've got your front yard, then a sidewalk, then there's just more grass for no fucking reason. And it's like, oh, we just thought this would be a fun thing for you to take care of, is this little patch of grass that requires watering and stuff, but crosses over the sidewalk, which isn't your property or whatever. And so then, you know, you can do things like stretch a hose across the sidewalk or just have sprinklers that are going across the sidewalk, which is somebody who, like, runs a lot and walks a lot of places. Real fucking annoying. I get real annoyed by the amount of sprinklage that's on the sidewalk as opposed to the grass. Because I'm like, that's just throwing, you're just watering the sidewalk. That's really cool. But it's not really your fault, because if you have a parkway and there's no sprinkler system, you have to water it. And what are you going to do? Water that entirely separately from your thing? And how? Just with a watering can? I don't get it. So anyway, our landlord is like, okay, well, I'm going to plant grass, but you guys have to water it. And then she sent us another email, and at this point, we'd already decided we're getting the fuck out of there, but she was like, hey, I planted the grass, so make sure you're watering it. And I don't know a lot, but I know that she didn't plant no goddamn grass. I could tell you that right now. She never came by. There are no seeds. There's no turf. There's no nothing. So I don't know how she thinks grass is going to grow, but I promise you it will not. But, you know, she's like, oh, do the grass. And I think probably the most egregious, well, there were two most egregious things. You would think there'd only be one most egregious, but there's two. That's how shitty she is. The first was, you know, when we moved in, the place was fucking filthy. Like, absolute crazy. Two pairs of dirty underwear, tons of dog hair, dog pee, all that stuff. I mean, it was not... she said that they did a walkthrough, and I'm like, that's impossible. Because if you did a walkthrough and this was acceptable to you, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what are you even doing? I understand some things, right? So I moved into... we'll get to that. I understand if you've done something like, oh, shit, I sprayed the oven full of oven cleaner, but then I forgot, you know, I left it and then forgot to wipe it down. And you're like, eh, okay. That's indicative of cleaning, at least. You've made an attempt to clean, and you fucked up, but it's not egregious, right? But this was egregious. So for all these reasons and more, we're like, let's get the fuck out of here. Here's the other thing that sucks about living in the house with somebody else. And, like, think about this when you're having these ideas of, like, oh, maybe we'll rent our basement out or whatever. So we share a yard. And that means we share the front and the backyard. And that means that, you know, when stuff happens, like, it snows. Well, we get these things from the city that are like, we're not going to deliver your mail if you don't shovel your sidewalk. But then also, who's supposed to shovel the sidewalk? Apparently, Pete is supposed to shovel the sidewalk. There are four people, but Pete is supposed to shovel the sidewalk for the most part. Close second, Poon Master Flex, for sure. Downstairs neighbors? No. Maybe one time. Also, though, what happens in the backyard? What's the situation in the backyard? Well, we share that. And by we share that, what that means is Pete and Poon Master Flex can use the backyard. And then downstairs neighbors plus their two dogs tear up the entire fucking yard and jump on you when you go out to the garage. Like, all over you, knock all the shit out of your hands. You can't walk through the yard without the dogs jumping on you. I know that doesn't sound annoying to some people. I know dog owners are like, that's what dogs do. Here's the thing. We don't own a dog, let alone two dogs, right? If you own the dog, then you can make some decisions. Like when I put in garden beds, I can make the decision to punish the dog if I see it in the garden bed tearing shit up. Or I can, you know, discipline the dog to not jump on me. I can be an effective dog dad. As Pete, the upstairs neighbor of the people who own the dogs, I can't really do that very effectively, can I? That's not something that I'm capable of doing. Nor is it gonna stick. Right? If it's like one out of every 10 times when this dog jumps up, I'd tell it to stop. And then, you know, the yard's full of dog shit, and it's not like you can... I guess maybe people who are more like interested in hanging out in the yard could talk to their neighbors and be like, hey, could you clean the dog shit up by this time on this day so I can mow, right? But that's not how we are. We're just not. I just don't want to deal with the fucking dogs. I don't want to deal with dogs I don't own. Just imagine, like, you have a dog. You don't have a dog, but you have to just let this dog walk through your yard, shit in your yard, jump on you, all that kind of shit. They're barking and growling at each other out in the yard early as fuck every morning. Annoying as shit. And that's a part of your life. Take away anything. Don't imagine it's your dog, okay? This is some strange dog who's just wandered into your life and you cannot get rid of. But you also can't. It's not like you can invite the dog over and be like, well, we'll be friends, you know? It's just a dick dog that is behaving in dog-like ways, don't get me wrong. But that's not. I didn't sign up for that shit. I don't want that. So here's what we decided. We decided we needed to find a new place, right? And we were looking at places, and there's some spots that are okay, but you just don't know. And all this time I've been saying, like, man, I really liked my place, my last place, my studio, because I liked that it was small, because that meant it was easy to take care of. And I liked that it was everything included, including internet. I liked that it was, you know, it was very simple. Everything about it was easy. And part of what changed is that it was much bigger, and part of what changed was moving in with somebody else. Because, you know, we have certain clashes. Like, we had that. Me and Poon Master Flex had that little classic fight. Kind of fight. Not really fight, but I came home. She'd been home all day, and there was a bunch of dishes, and she was like, I'm going to do the dishes. Don't do the dishes. But I was like, well, are you going to do them right now? Because if you're not going to do them right now, I'm going to do them. Because somebody was coming over. Elias was coming over. And I was like, I don't really want to make it look like we live in Dirty Dish Town, USA. And I wasn't blaming her for not doing the dishes. But I know it sounded like I was, because I was like, well, are you going to do them now? Because if you're not going to do them now, I need to do them, because they need to be done in the next 15 minutes. And it's fine that you didn't do them. However, don't tell me not to do them, right? That's these kinds of things. These are the kinds of things that living together is about. I mean, there's closeness and intimacy, and there's also a lot of, like, who's doing what chores when for who. And overall, I think we've been pretty good. Like, I think we've not fought a lot about, like, who bought this supply or who bought these groceries or whatever. But there are these awkward situations that you find yourself in. And I kind of miss the freedom to not, like, to go to bed leaving a bunch of dirty dishes and then not worry about it. Or to stay up late doing the dishes and not worry, you know, because sometimes she'll be like, come to bed, don't do the dishes. And I'm like, I need to do the dishes. Like, there's so many dishes. This is just one example of many. There are many things she does that I am bad about doing, right? Okay. So for this, and here's the other big thing. We were looking at two-bedroom places, but they're all expensive. You know, they're like $1,100 is, you know, the real range. And we are both, you know, actively looking for jobs and to make a move out of state. And here's the thing. We want to move to the same place. We want to stay together. However, let's say she gets a job somewhere else first, which is very likely because she's got more skills and abilities and is good at job. She'll be moving. The plan would be, oh my God. We're doing this thing where we're on behind a semi on the on-ramp, and because the on-ramp is a curve, we're going 10 miles an hour, and then we're going to have to merge into traffic that's going 80. This is a delight. God, this is horrible. Poonmaster Flex has been watching this show, And it's one of these shows, like it's like Ice Road Truckers kind of, except it's like this one road in Canada where, you know, it's basically like if you want to get fucked up in your semi, drive this road in the winter. And it's just constant towing of cars that have gone off the road in the winter. And it's just sort of like, yeah, like they show the consistency of the snow and the road and stuff, and you're like, yeah, this motherfucker had no chance of ever staying on the road. There was no way this person was ever gonna get over the mountain or whatever wherever they're going. And it's weird because you're like, man, it's fucking 2016. Wouldn't you think we'd have like a better way to do this by now? Like some kind of better materials for the road and for the rubber and shit that worked in the snow just fine. You would think, or some way of melting the snow or something. You would think we would have something better than that. Or we would just have some fucking sense and be like, listen, it's snowing on this road. You're gonna just end up sitting in a traffic jam for 6 hours if you don't wind up dead. You know, they get this truck where it like rolled over and, you know, the precious cargo. The cargo in these trucks is always like bottled water. And you're like, eh. I mean, if I went to Safeway and they were out of one brand of bottled water, I think I'd be fine. Or, you know, one time it was champagne, and you're like, well, good thing this person risked their life to deliver a bunch of fucking champagne for people. I'm sure, what would they have done if they couldn't buy that bottle of champagne? I don't know. It seems crazy to me. Seems like the craziest way to run a world that we've elected. Anywho, so let's say Poon Master Flex gets a job somewhere, right? Here would be the plan. I would stay here because, you know, we can't really afford one of our incomes to live both of us on. And also, what we'd want to do is the other, you know, I would stay here gainfully employed, but then really work hard on finding just any kind of job so that I could move out there. And then we would be fine, right? And we would do that for like, I don't know, 6 months. And then if nothing was happening at the 6 month mark, be like, all right, well, maybe it's time to think about just moving out there and then trying to get a job once I'm there. But the snag with that is this. If we were both living here and we were in a two bedroom apartment, neither of us could afford that while the other person was gone. Neither of us could afford that solo. So the answer became, what if we got two separate apartments? What if we had separate apartments? Then, you know, for example, if she gets a job in a week, well, she could peace out and then I can hang here until I get a job and be fine, right? Also, deletes all the problems of like, oh, doing the dishes and da 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 da. And also, there's like this third thing, which is like, I don't know how other couples manage this or if this is a problem or if this is just me being crazy. But I found that like when we moved in together, before we lived together, here's what was cool about dating before we lived together. We would make plans, you know, be like, let's hang out on Wednesday night. And so what that meant is I would, you know, get all my shit done and be ready to hang out with her on Wednesday night. And then when we hung out, we were hanging out. Now, there's a lot of times where we're together, but we're not like being together. We're not talking to each other or listening to each other very much. It's more just like, I don't know, I'm making food in the kitchen and she's on her computer, and we're in the same space, but we're not like talking or interacting. And it seems like, to me, it feels like we traded a lot of our time that we used to set aside time to be together, and now we just kind of like are together by force often, and that's become our time together, and that's no good. And I know what you're thinking. Couldn't you just like set aside time for each other and like have date nights and stuff? And I'm like, yeah, we totally could do that. But I don't know if that's better. I don't know if that works. I don't know if that's like, it doesn't solve the problem, because here's the problem. When we're together, and one of us is doing stuff, it's because we do need to do that stuff too. It's not like we can just continue the way we are, but then add in a date night. That doesn't work. You would have to basically be like, all right, we're going to add in Wednesday is going to be our let's have dinner together night. But that means Thursday is the night where I come home and it's like, we cannot talk to each other. We just have to like do our own things. When you don't live together, you've got that option, right? You've got the option to be like, here's the way it's going to work. And the other thing is, and Poonmaster Flex has, you know, said this many times, but so my schedule is like I work approximately 10 to 7 most days. And then I get off work and I go to the gymnasium. And then I might go to the store or do something else and get home at like 10 or 10:30. And there are no nights of the week or weekend when I come home that she's not there. And so it's like if you've ever had a roommate, and it seems like this is what always happens with roommates, one roommate is always there and the other roommate is like in and out. And the roommate who's always there kind of becomes like the de facto, that person kind of owns the space, right? That's their place. And that's how I feel right now, is like I'm living at Poonmaster Flex's apartment, is how it feels. And you know, we don't really have our own spaces so much. I mean, we kind of do, but she doesn't have her own space. I have like a room where we are. Anyway, is this important or interesting? I don't know. Well, here's the interesting part, is we will now be living in separate studio apartments across the hallway from each other in my old place, which is a really different thing, but I'm kind of interested to see how it works and excited. Because, like, we've been moving, and I've been surprised because I've been a little sad. Because I'm like, it's sad to, like, divide things back up. You know, it feels a little like breaking up, right? Because you're like, oh, this is your thing, right? Okay. Well, this is my thing. I guess I'll take it. But I read on the internet about this. I looked it up, which is like a stupid thing to do. But there are actually some pretty positive opinions on this. Now, like, you'll find most of the couples who are doing this are older and live in, like, the city. Like, for example, there were a bunch of people in New York City who are doing this, living in separate apartments. And they have a lot of reasons that are similar to ours in that they're like, well, I wanted to have my own space and I already had my own apartment. And like, you know, when she goes out of town, I like, why? It's great to be able to just stay in my own spot and all that shit. And one of the big things too is like people have different tastes. You know, I would decorate a house this way, she would decorate it that way. And definitely the place where we live now, the main areas and stuff are to her taste. And, like, I think she has great taste. It's not the same as mine all the time. And, you know, she is definitely different from mine. Her taste is much more designed and grown up, and my taste is much more, could Pee-wee's Playhouse be a real fucking thing? You know, when you're looking at shower curtains that have, like, a Super Mario scene on them, you're not... I'm not criticizing someone else's design choices. Let's put it that way. So, but that's the whole thing, is, like, I am enjoying the freedom, and Poonmaster Flex is, too, of, like... I've said Poonmaster Flex more on this episode than maybe I've said in my life. But we're both enjoying the, like... If I want to get a Super Mario shower curtain, I never would have bought that for a place we shared together. Because I'd be like, no, she's not going to like that. And she's not wrong to be like, I don't really want to have a Super Mario shower curtain. Like, I cannot stress enough that there's no way in which she's incorrect for feeling like that. But if I have my place and she's got her place, she can get whatever shower curtain she wants and I can get whatever shower curtain I want. And that's that. You know what I mean? And I really, really like that. I'm really liking that this is kind of how it works. And I think she is too. I think that, you know, she's really liking the freedom to set her place up the way she wants, and I'm liking the same thing. And it's just, it's so nice. It's so freeing. And then my other big hope, though, like, we're still planning to spend most nights together. And my big hope is that it will be good for us, because things are going great, in my opinion. But I think it'll be good for us to once again have more time together where we're, like, actually being together. You know, where we have more times where I'm like, yeah, I'm going over to your place, and, you know, I'm not coming over and just cleaning something, or, you know, I'm not waking up on Saturday pissed off because I have to mow the grass today or whatever. Like, I think it'll save us some time together, and then we'll put that time to good use being together. It's like you have to make a slightly more conscious effort to be together, and that's a good thing. Also, no more cat allergies for Peter, which is pretty exciting. You know, I've definitely come to love the cat, the specific cat that we have, that cat. I'm not a animal lover in general still. It's like a fucking kid where you're like, I like my kid, but I don't like kids, and it's very much like that. Yeah, so that's what's happening. That's where I'm at. That is what's happening. That's why the recording is, you know, off-site and all that shit, and why I don't have a studio right now, but I will. Plans for that. Exciting plans. So that's kind of the Pete's life update that could have had some jokes in it, but didn't. So there you go. Fuck off. I don't know what to tell you. It didn't have jokes. We do have some exciting news upcoming about the future. So this March, this is our 5-year anniversary of this show. We've been doing this show for 5 years, which is crazy, right? Who would have thought that it would last so long and come to so little fruition? Who would have thought that you could go 5 years doing this and have so little outcome? I never would have dreamed that it could be like this. But here I am, rocking you like a hurricane, right? So in order to do that, we're going to have like a celebration of shows. I was trying to think, like, how do I mark the anniversary of this? How do I make this a special thing? And what I decided is I'm going to do a series of shows. So here's what I'm planning. Special show number one is going to be a recap of the last 5 years. And the way we're going to do that is I'm going to just roll dice to figure out which episode to, you know, listen in on, get a number. And then I'll just click on that episode and we'll just hear what happens. And I tried this out because I was like, I don't know, what if this is just a bunch of boring bullshit? It was pretty great because I was like, what the fuck was wrong with me? What was I thinking? This is so stupid. Second thing that we're going to be doing is I'm hoping to get friend of the show, Alec, in because he did our first show. And I want to have him come and we listen to the first show and basically comment on the first show that we ever did from our new, more enlightened perspective. Is that show terrible now? Is it great? Is it like, oh man, we've gotten worse in the last 5 years, I should just quit? Or is it like, oh, we've gotten so good? I hope it's that we've gotten so good, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure, because in the early shows I couldn't waste time being self-referential about what the show's gonna do. So that's a thing that's coming. We've got a couple other anniversary shows planned. One of them is, what I'm gonna try and do is make a complete list of guests who have been on the show, and then whenever I record this show, I'm just gonna try and give them all a call. Now, this is gonna be difficult because I don't have phone numbers for everybody, and also, I don't plan to really announce to them that I'll be calling on this day at this time. I'm just going to cold call everybody. So if you're listening to this and you've been on the show, I expect it. if you're listening to this and you've been on the show and I don't have your phone number, feel free to shoot me a text with your number so I can call you. But that should be interesting. Or last 5 minutes when no one answers the phone, and then that's the end. And then finally, I wanted to do a show. This one's a little more involved. That's basically like, it's been 5 years, and you know, all the other shows in that time that I've really enjoyed, I'd like to kind of do a recap of like the shows I've listened to for the last 5 years. Just like play a little clip from each one that I think is really good and maybe encourage some people to listen to some other shit. So that's what we're looking at. That's four, and you would think we would do five because it's a 5 year anniversary. Well, we might. I just only have four ideas right now, okay? Ideas are hard. Things are hard. There was another important announcement thing. Oh, yes. Yes. I do know the other show that we're going to be doing, which is not going to happen in full for a little while, but it's the Helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2. Now, we are coming up with some new events. I keep saying we, me. Me is coming up with some new events. And basically, I've got one so far. So if you wanted to start working on it, you can. All entrants will be accepted. And I'm hoping to be able to let people enter via Skype and that kind of thing. But we'll see. But here's the first event. And you can send these in as soon as you want. The scoring is going to be very arbitrary. However, you know, firstsies will get an additional score break. The first event is to create an audio commercial for one of the books that I have up on the Kindle store. You can pick whatever you want. The commercial can be whatever you want. You can record it however you want, but you need to give it to me in like a playable format. Or, you know, link me to it online or whatever. I just need to be able to, like, plug it into something and play. You can use music. You can add sound effects. It can be a long commercial. It can be a short commercial. But, you know, the better it is, the more points you'll get. And so, if you want to start thinking about that, start making me a fucking commercial. Right now! I can't believe I left so early in it. I'm going to be a little late for this meeting, maybe. Or just on time. This is my entire life is of lateness. I'm looking for Adderall. I want to try Adderall because I think I have ADD. Although they say people who are adults who take Adderall are just, like, addicted to speed. But I don't know. I've never really been addicted to a drug. So I think I'm fine. So, yeah, I don't know. If you find an Adderall on the sidewalk or something, shoot it my way. Unless that's illegal, in which case, this is a hilarious joke that I'm telling right now. That's related, I promise you. The late thing and the ADD thing. For some reason, every ADD test is like, are you late all the time? But ADD tests online are a lot like cancer tests. Tests online or like if you Google and do tests for like am I blank, am I suffering from blank, you know, am I losing my hearing, I promise you the answer will end up being yes. It doesn't matter if you are or are not. They'll ask you these questions like if you look up are you losing your hearing and it's like do you ever eat pizza before it's ready and it burns your mouth, and you're like yes I do, and they're like oh shit, you better go to the doctor. Do you ever go bowling and forget that you don't really like bowling until you get there and like halfway through the second game, you're just like, oh my God, this is so boring. You might have you definitely have ADD. You need to get checked up for that. That's kind of how this works. So as far as, you know, my self-diagnosis, although Poonmaster Flex has helped diagnose, she thinks that I definitely have it. Which is a little insulting. It's a little bit like if I was like, oh, I think you have this annoying disease. It's kind of, I don't know. Some would probably see this as like, well, good, now I have an excuse or a reason for why I am the way I am. It does explain a lot of things. It definitely helps explain my relationship with school, for sure. But also just life. But at the same time, it's like, well, I've been noticing that you do all these really obnoxious things, and restrained myself from being mad at you because I'm recognizing that it's like a disease, basically, that you can't... A disorder, I guess. How do you own disorder? Disorder! System of a Down. God, I had this whole agenda of things I needed to talk about. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, we can talk about this. I know I wasn't going to talk about, like, political type shit. But I thought it was really funny that this week I saw a thing about, So the preview came out for Ghostbusters, the Lady Ghostbusters. And I saw this think piece that was like, how come the black Ghostbuster works for the transit authority and all the other ones are like scientists? How come the black Ghostbuster's not a scientist? And I was just like, see, you can't win. Paul Feig, you can't win. You do Lady Ghostbusters. The whole world is pissed off at you because they're like, you're ruining our Ghostbuster thing. Da 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 da. You're doing all this thing. And he's like, no, I'm going to make Lady Ghostbusters. It's going to be great. And then finally everyone gets fucking over it. And then it's like, wait a minute. You did Lady Ghostbusters, but what about the racial equality? Aha! And he's like, God, he must just be like, God fucking damn it. I don't know how someone like, if I was him, I would be like, fuck it. I'm making white power movies from now on because you cannot win. You can't win. It's so crazy. I mean, I hear what people are saying. I also am kind of like, I mean, we've seen a like 45-second preview at this point. Maybe we should just wait until we see the movie to decide how racist it is or isn't. But also, I'm just like, good fucking God. I just want to go to a goddamn movie once in a while. Can we just go to a movie? Can we just see a movie? Everything's got to be everything. And I really can't help but feel like, you know, this is somebody getting online and just being like, all right, here's the Ghostbusters thing. Everyone's excited about the lady power. What could I do? What can I find to not like about it? What can I do to say, like, what about this? There you go. All right, I gotta go. We'll see you guys later. To find out what people really thought about Ninja Sons, a new book from Peter Dirk, we decided to ask the only honest people we know, kids.
Whoa, that's just hideous.
Okay. Whoa. I'm not laughing anymore.
They didn't put much effort and money into it. Oh, too much kicking.
Oh my gosh, that looks scary.
They look very stupid, but they look ugly.
This is pretty cool.
Oh my gosh.
So stupid.
They're samurais now, that makes sense.
Yeah, well, you know what? Kids are fucking dumb, okay? Go buy the book, Ninja Sons. Buy it. Fuck off. So here's what's happening. I made it to my meeting and now I'm driving home. And we can keep talking. And I don't know if this will be combined or not. We'll find out. So anyway, moving into a new place, right? When we last left you, I was moving into a new place and didn't really make much progress on that tale. And when we last left you, I was telling you how in my first place, or my current place, I should say, dirty when we moved in. And then, much to my dismay, new place, dirty when I moved in. Dirty as hell. When I say dirty, I don't mean like, geez, you know, there was some, the light fixture had some grime on it, which it did. But what I mean is, like, literal pile of dirt in the middle of the floor. Actual dirt pile. Like, it looked like, I don't know, like a swath of mud that had dried and powderized over time. Actual pile of fucking dirt in the middle of the floor. So that's a good sign. Lots of debris in the bathtub. appeared to be, I don't know, cardboard or something like that. Didn't, when I say debris, I don't mean like human debris. I don't mean a black ring around the bathtub. Thank fucking God. Now that would be the last place, my current home. No, this is a, it's been cleaned, but something happened. And you know what happened, I am pretty sure, is, pretty sure the previous tenant was a smoker. And the reason I say is because, number one, the screens were all ripped up and pushed out. Number two, there was an odor of sort of, I wasn't sure it was smoke at first. And then the way I came to realize it was smoke was I unplugged the 3 Glade plugins in a tiny studio apartment. And when you have 3 Glade plugins in one apartment, you're like, what are you, is there a corpse in here or were you smoking? Or a secret cat or something. It's got to be one of those. It's not good things that have happened, right? And then also, I was cleaning the windows. I saw like, oh, the windows are like weird and sticky. You're like, oh, that's from smoking. That's nice. Smoking is fucked up, man. Smoking indoors is fucked up. Fucks up your place. I could totally understand why landlords are like, no smoking inside. I don't think if I smoked, I would want to smoke inside. Maybe. Maybe because you just don't care. Because you're like, well, this is my place, I'll smoke inside. But I don't know, man. Seems like that's the short road to always basically being cigarette smell man. But I gotta tell ya, you probably wouldn't expect it from hearing from me or hearing about me, but pretty good cleaner. I am a pretty good hardcore deep cleaner. I feel like I've got the skills to pay those bills. For example, you know, most people when they move into a place, I don't think like pull the fridge and the oven out from the wall and find like a complete smashed package of muffins under the oven. Yeah, my new place was fucked up. That was the other thing. They had the oven cleaner was sprayed in and not cleaned out. All under the oven was dirty as fuck, and the sides of the oven, there was some kind of red something was spilled. Looked like a sauce, a spaghetti sauce, maybe? That had just gone down the sides of the oven. It's like, there are things that people seem to not know about homes and apartments especially. Like, there are things you can do to make your apartment slightly less of a hellhole. This is the show that I want to have. I want to host this show on HGTV. And it's like kind of a depressing show, but also great. Because here's what you need. Here's what the world fucking needs very badly. I'm telling you right now, as an apartment renter who for the first time ever is living entirely above ground, like, you know, not on the ground floor or below. Like, there are things you can do to make your place less of a hellhole, but also there are things that, like, you could do that no one's gonna fucking do. I'm not gonna, you know, they're always like, oh, yeah, you can, like, redo the entire floor or, you know, oh, paint the walls. Most landlords are cool if you paint the walls as long as when you leave, you paint them back. And you're like, I'm gonna be here for a fucking year. I'm not painting the goddamn wall unless it's a, you know, if I moved into an apartment and there was a fucking swastika on the wall, maybe. I would want to. I don't know if I'd be able, you know, I'd be like, I don't know. If I put the TV up on that wall, mostly blocks most of the swastika, and a swastika that you can't see all of isn't really a swastika anymore, right? It's just kind of a couple of sticks. And that's the thing, like, you read these books that are like, oh, how to decorate when you're renting or something, or like, here's one of my favorites, when you get a book that's like, how to decorate a small space, living in a small space, and I'm like, what, like, a small space to these people is like less than 5,000 square feet or something like that. And you're just like, okay, that's, you know, that's helpful. That's a real small space. Oh, well, you only have one guest bedroom, so just make sure that if your guests come, they come at different times or come at the same time in the bed while they fuck each other. Wink. Oh, good one. Thanks. Yeah, guest bed. That's cool. But yeah, I want to do a show that's like, here's what you can actually do. Here's what like a real person can do for, you know, like any project that costs more than $100 is immediately out. And, all right. Should I just make with my tips? These are Pete's moving into an apartment tips. Okay. Here's tip number one. And this applies anytime you move and probably should apply to people's houses too. A new toilet seat is like $10. The high end is $30, and they're very easy to replace. It's like two bolts that are made out of plastic, and that's all it takes to replace toilet seats. Replace your fucking toilet seat. You don't have to have this chipped ass, crappy looking toilet seat. You don't have to be on a toilet seat that's, you know, who knows how many other people have been on that toilet seat? Nobody knows. It's a mystery. What? How about eliminate the mystery? And probably there's been no one on that toilet seat. Perhaps one guy is like a tester who's just shitting all day. He's like, oh yeah, this one's pretty good. This one will do. Also, there's like two kinds of toilet seats. There's the long kind and the circle kind. There's like the one that, if you look at it from the top, it's shaped like an egg. And the one that's just a circle. Okay? It's very hard to fuck this up. So don't fuck this up. Go get a new toilet seat. If you're living in a place right now and you've never replaced the toilet seat, just do it. If you can remember, you know, every day you're like lifting that toilet seat or putting it down and you're seeing, you know, that's that stained part or the part with the weird hole in it or this one's got a crack in it or whatever, you don't have to live that way. This will improve your life, I promise you. Okay? That's Pete's apartment tip number one. Number two, invest in lamps, okay? Lamps are your friend. You know it's not your friend, the lighting of most apartments. I don't know if I've ever lived in an apartment that didn't have fluorescent lighting in at least one room. And I get enough of that from my job. There is a light on my desk that like kind of lights up the desktop and it's fluorescent and it's just like, this is so depressing. This is worse than just being in pure darkness. I'd rather just, like, I don't know, be trying to scribble away some notes and be like, ah, I'll just revise them when the sun's back than work under fluorescent light. Fluorescent light is the worst, man. It's depressing as shit. Unless you're, like, real into Fight Club and you just want your whole life to look like a fucking David Fincher movie, go ahead and forget about the fluorescent lights. Go ahead and get some lamps. Get some floor lamps, get some table lamps, and your house will look so much nicer. Your apartment will look so much better. These are such better lighting than overhead lights I can't even describe. Okay? So that's something. That's something there. Woo. What else do I have? Oh, yeah. Well, when you're moving, just keep in mind, people will take anything on Craigslist. Anything that you, if you are able to put an ad for something on Craigslist, someone will come and take it. I promise you. I gave away this chair for free that the dump should have charged me to take it. That's the kind of chair it was. They should have been like, no, you cannot just give this away. You have to pay for us to get rid of this. This is a liability. A guy drove from like a half hour away. We stuffed it in his Dodge Neon and he drove off happy. And I was like, what kind of life is this guy living? That this chair looked good to him. That was the time that I put up the Craigslist ad and on the chair. So I set up my laptop. I like Google image searched bikini girl and found a girl in a bikini and then just set the laptop on the chair and took a picture and was like, hot babes love this chair. Proof. And then there's the picture. And then it got flagged and taken down, which I was like, really? Is that, you know, Craigslist is the place where it's like, hey, are you interested in felching? Call me. You want to Do you want to receive a blowjob and then have the sperm blown back into your mouth? Great. Me too. 420 friendly. Like, that's the website we're on right now. And a harmless bikini picture is like, whoa, that violates the sensibilities that I have for this. Okay. I don't know what these people are expecting. Also, free fucking chair. Fuck off. Get a hair zip. Now, what a hair zip is, it's this plastic rod that you put down the drain and pull out, and then all the hair comes out with it. Because when your sink is running slow and your bathtub is running slow, that's what's going on, I promise you. Drano doesn't do shit. Okay, Drano gets rid of a tiny bit of the clog, just enough so that like it'll limp you along till you get the next Drano. Pull the hair out. And then what you do, you get one of these things. It looks like a flower at the top or like an anchor, and it's got like a beaded chain that hangs down with these little wings on it. And that goes down your drain. So the part that's sticking out of your drain is the flower or the anchor or whatever. And that catches so much hair. And then you just pull that fucker out. And according to that fucker, you can just throw it away. I don't just throw it away because that seems like a waste. I just take the hair off and reuse it because, I don't know, I guess I'm scum. And I don't feel like that's a disposable product. But this is a good thing to have, okay? Make your drains work for you. Here's another thing I suggest. Get lots of wall art. And get big wall art. Because big wall art is really handy. Like, if you buy a $5 picture of a woman eating a banana in a bra, like I did at the flea market, then you can cover up the shitty-looking circuit breaker box that's in the middle of your kitchen. Right? Like, what once was a circuit breaker box is now a really crappy 80s picture of a lady eating a banana that's hilarious and still has the price tag on it. Okay? Perfect. Here would be another thing that I would do on this show. You know, we'd be looking around an apartment and be like, all right, well, this is within your budget. It's kind of shitty. There's not much room. And I know what people would say. I'd be like, you're thinking Murphy bed, aren't you? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, don't get a Murphy bed. This is a waste of your time. What are you going to do with a Murphy bed? What are you going to do with a Murphy bed? Seriously. I'll tell you what you're going to do with a Murphy bed. It's going to be out 24/7 for weeks at a time until, like, your mom comes. And then you're like, all right, I'm going to put this back up so it's not just my bed. Or, like, you have friends come over, multiple friends, and then you put it back up. No, none of this fold, you know, it's like, oh, look at this clever table that folds out from the wall and whatever. And it's like, yeah, that's great. If I need a table for 1 hour out of the week and the rest of the time I absolutely don't need it. You know, I'm running a fucking radio show here. What am I going to do with a folding table? How am I supposed to put all this crap in the space where there's like, you know, well, most of the time there's a bed, but then sometimes there's not a bed. And that's when I do the radio show. I simply pack all the stuff away into boxes and pack the cords away and then spend about 45 minutes redoing everything every time I want to do this. In the time it takes me to reset it up, I could just do the show. So fuck Murphy beds. That is an idea that only works out of necessity. Like, if you have to do it, if you have no choice, then sure, go for it. But if you think that it's like going to be a workable solution to have more space, go fuck yourself, okay? Go fuck yourself. It's a terrible idea. I will make one exception in my design show for HGTV here. If you have a guest bedroom, feel free to put a Murphy bed in there, because this is one of my other rules. Ready? Stop fucking planning your house and your living situation around, like, well, what about when I have guests? You don't have guests. Nobody has guests. Nobody has parties. Do you know how many parties I've been to in the last year? Like, two. And if you have a party, you don't have to have it at your house. It doesn't always have to be at your house. Also, who cares? How many fucking friends do you have? How many people do you need to invite over? Just go somewhere else. Don't... Everyone looking for a house is like, oh, well, what about, you know, I'm just picturing having people over and barbecuing and all this. And it's like, you know, you're getting a new house and not like, this house doesn't come with friends. Like, it doesn't come with cool people to hang out with that you're going to invite over for these imaginary barbecues. You're going to have one fucking barbecue. It's going to be so much more work than you thought. And you're going to be like, Jesus Christ, I'm never doing that again. And you'll be expecting everyone to be like, oh, when are you going to have your regular barbecue or whatever? No one's going to ask. No one cares. So just forget it. Forget it. Abandon all hope, ye who enter apartments. Just forget it. What else? I got some other tips for apartments. Oh, yeah. Okay, here's a tip. Get a super long extension cord for your vacuum. This is going to sound dumb and lazy, but I promise it's, like, the best thing. Because if you have, like, even a two-bedroom apartment and you have, like, a 50-foot extension cord, you never have to unplug and replug in the vacuum. You plug it in one time, you do the whole place, you're done. It feels so much faster. It's so easy. And then you're done vacuuming forever. Do that. Do that faux show. This is one of my other tips that people find controversial. I get a lot of pushback on this one, but I'm still a maintainer of this. You know that little separator thing in your silverware drawer? Take it, throw it in the trash, pee on it, light it on fire, and then throw that in a bigger trash pile. Throw that and stuff it inside of a chair that you sell on Craigslist with a picture of a bikini woman, because you don't fucking need that shit. Why? How much time of our lives are we spending sorting silverware? For real. You sort it into the, you know, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to get out a fork to use for this. And then I eat with it. And then I put it in the dishwasher, either with the other forks if I'm that kind of weirdo, or make sure to not put it with the other forks because I'm that kind of weirdo. Then I take it back out of the dishwasher or, you know, hand washing. Then I make sure to put it back in the proper slot because... How long it would take so long to look through the drawer and find the silverware I need. Oh my God, can you imagine? And here's the way you solve that problem. I have 5 forks, 5 spoons, and 5 knives. There's a maximum of 15 objects in the drawer at any time. And realistically, there's probably 2/3 of that most of the time, right? Because the rest of it's in use or being washed or whatever. That's it. That's how many do you need? How many place settings do you need at a time? 15? I don't think you need 15. Here's another tip. Fuck the dishwasher. I was excited to go back to dishwasher life. I thought dishwasher life was going to be good. Dishwasher life is not good. Dishwashing life is better. It's better to spend a little time every night washing your dishes than it is to have the dishwasher. Because you know what happens with the dishwasher? Is, you know, you have certain things that you're like, this goes on the top, this can't go on the top, or on the bottom, because it'll fucking melt into shreds. Right? So you don't put it in the dishwasher. You fill up the top rack with shit that needs to go on the top, and the bottom is like half empty. Or you fill up the bottom with big shit, and the top is half empty. And then... you're like, well, I don't want to just run this dishwasher when it's not full. That seems so wasteful. So then the stuff just piles up on the counter. And you're like, well, I just wait till the next dishwasher cycle. But you're like still an entire one half of a loading and a full unloading away from making any use of this goddamn infernal machine. Why were we cursed with this machine that doesn't really do what we want it to do? I want a dishwasher that's like a box. And you just put in, like, a cup, and it washes that cup. That's what I want. And it takes, like, 5 seconds. You put an entire cup, or just one plate, and you put it in there, and it's washed. And then you, you know, ding, and you pull it out. I want the microwave of dishwashers, is what I'm looking for. Oh, man. We went to look at American Furniture Warehouse. Because Poon Master Flex needs to buy a new bed. And they had... I hadn't thought of this in forever. Well, first, I had thought of this a lot of times. I was like, it would be fun to just walk around here and just fart in all the furniture. Just completely loaded up with farts. That seemed hilarious to me at the time. Just the idea of, like, next time I got real bad gas, just stop at American Furniture, sit on a couch until it's full of my farts. Someone buys that couch, right? Eventually. The floor model, I mean, someone's like, oh, discount. Oh, probably people barely sat on it. Oh, believe me. They farted in it. If I was there. If they was me, then it's fart-filled. So we're looking at all kinds of furniture, and they have some of the furniture that's available for purchase. I feel like it should almost be a crime to make that available to the public, to make people think, like, it's okay to have this in your home. I mean, there are some couches, and I'm not talking about, like, shitty, cheap furniture. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about expensive-ass furniture that looks like it belongs to, like, the Scorpion King or something like that. There's, like, a leather couch that has huge rivets in it that make the surface of it tight, and it looks crazy. Like, I don't understand who has that couch in their house, and it's humongous, but the actual area you sit in isn't that big. It's just, like, the actual furniture piece itself is gigantic. That's one of the things they've got a lot of. Another thing they've got that, you know, nobody should have is a waterbed. I couldn't fucking believe... I hadn't thought about the concept of a waterbed in, like, a decade. It had never occurred to me that this was something that anyone would still own. Like, I guess I just thought waterbeds were kind of like, you know how it seemed like in the 90s or something, a lot of people had hot tubs. Like, that was a cool thing to have. I feel like that was like a thing that, you know, rich people had, and then people pretending they were rich who weren't that rich had, and also like hillbillies had. Like, if you had an above ground pool, you'd also have a hot tub. And, it just go to shit because no one wants to take care of a fucking hot tub. Because that's, like, more than having a child. More effort. More chemicals. That's for damn sure. But, and waterbed was in that same category for me. I thought waterbeds were kind of like a thing of the past. But they're not. I mean, they're still available, I guess. I don't know if people actually use them. And it just, like, it seems so uncomfortable to me. Like, you get in there, and it sort of just sloshes you around. I don't know. I feel like I would wake up in a panic thinking I was at sea or something like that. And, anyway, so we were at American Furniture, and we saw this waterbed, right? And then I went to go get my keys later the next week, and I was driving through there's a little town between here and Fort Collins called Severance. Severance, whatever. I think it's Ance. And I don't know if it's named this on purpose, but Severance is most famous for Bruce's Bar, which is the, like, place that really boasts about its Rocky Mountain oysters, which is fried bull testicles. Which, if you've never had them, I mean, you probably could just to say you've had them, but they just taste like fried. You know how fried everything is kind of the same? Like, fried chicken versus fried turkey tastes almost the same. It's, you know, it's breaded and fried, so you don't hardly notice the difference. It was great. I was driving through there, and there was so they have paintings of these bulls protesting on the side of the thing, you know, because they're like, don't eat our balls. But their signs aren't that good. The signs that I saw, one says unfair. So this bull is like, eating our balls is unfair, which I felt was like a pretty low ball way of looking at it. Low stakes, you know. How do you feel about the fact that someone cut off your balls and ate them? I don't think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's all the passion you can warrant, you can muster. Because if that's really the extent of your feelings, I don't know. Did you even really want the balls in the first place? Do you care about the balls at all? Balls at all. But the other guy, the other bull next to him, so the first sign says unfair, and then the next sign says very unfair. So in case you weren't sure, and like, I just like imagine this whole backstory where the one bull like makes his sign, he's like unfair, and he's like, I know it's not great, but I'm a bull. I mean, that's going to be pretty amazing. I'll be standing on my hind hooves holding this sign aloft, and people are going to be like, well, that's a long way to go for a bull. I'll tell you that right now. And then you'll have bull number two, who's just like, oh, God, I don't know what to do. And he sees that guy's unfair sign. And he's like, well, I got to do better than that, because that's the first sign. So I got to escalate. What am I going to... And he's just like, very unfair. Yeah, if you thought it was unfair before, wait till you hear how I feel about it. Very unfair. More unfair than even unfair. It's just... It's so funny because, like, you've got these bulls, you've got these signs, they're protesting. The bulls look good. I mean, they're, like, they're not crappily drawn or anything. They're nice, like, cartoon bulls standing up. Not easy to do. But if that was your task and then it was like, give them signs. Give them protest signs that say something. And you're just like, oh, okay. This person was clearly an artist, not an author, right? That was the side of his brain he was working with. He was just like, I've gone so far as to conceptualize bulls with signs on their hind legs protesting on the side of the building where people eat their balls. But I can't bend my mind around the idea of what they would say about their balls being eaten. So this is what you get. The other thing I saw in Severance... Now, Severance is tiny. I mean, I think there's like one stop sign as you pass through town on the highway or whatever. And right near the stop, there's a country waterbed store. Which I was like, is this who has waterbeds? People in the country? And why? But maybe there's some kind of market there of like... How the fuck does this town... You drive through this town, there's not like a Grease Monkey, there's not like a McDonald's, there's nothing. I mean, I don't even remember specifically seeing like a restaurant or anything other than Bruce's Bar. But they have a country waterbed store. There's enough commerce there for waterbeds that they have a waterbed store. And not only do they have a waterbed store, and not only do they want it, their logo on the sign for their waterbed store is an outhouse. What the fuck? Why would you be like, okay, we have our waterbed store. These are beds full of water. What do you think of when you think of a waterbed? I don't know, piss and shit mixed in a hole in the ground? Oh, yeah, totally. Let's put that on our sign. Is that just because it says country? You're like, well, this place is so country, there's an outhouse? And if so, is that where I want to buy my waterbed? Do I want to buy my waterbed from the place where they're like, outhouses is where it's at? I mean, waterbed is definitely something from the time where indoor plumbing is standard, right? Ain't nobody got time for filling up a waterbed via bucket. But that's the town of Severance. That's the beautiful town of Severance. Okay, I'm gonna leave you guys for real this time. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, you. And don't forget to get started on your audio presentation, your commercial, for one of my books. These will be judged on a number of factors, but none of them good. None of them like responsible. All right, we'll see you next time.